Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Dr. Kevin Most joins us now. Dr. Most is the Chief Medical Officer at Northwestern Medicine Central DuPage Hospital. What is your specialty, Doctor? When you don't talk on the radio, what kind of medicine do you practice?
John, I'm boarded in family medicine, actually.
Do you miss the day-to-day of that?
I do. You know, I still practice. I still have Tuesdays, my clinic day, where I see the acute care and the walk-ins, and I call it my sanity day. It gets me away from here, so I appreciate that, and still can make an impact.
Do people say, oh my God, you're Dr. Kevin Most?
Yeah. Not too many. Usually they say they'll know my brothers or something.
Doctor, yesterday we heard some guidance that was confusing to me. Can you update us on what the CDC or the WHO are saying about contact with COVID-19?
Yeah, John, I think, you know, confusion is a very good word because there's been a couple confusing things that have come out yesterday or in the past few days. One, as far as, is this a droplet or is this an airborne? So that's one of the issues that's come out, as well as the CDC posting something about who should be testing and then retracting that or adding to it and saying, wait, this is what we think now as far as who should be tested. So both of them are kind of at a point where you start to lose confidence in these people. You know, you're changing your mind so quickly, you're posting something, you're redacting it. You know, what are we supposed to be leading? What is the science telling us? So the one that's probably the biggest concern is the one where they put it out, the CDC put out that this may be an airborne versus a droplet. Now, people say, well, you know, what's the big difference? The droplet precautions are the that when it's expelled from the mouth, it weighs a certain, it's a certain size and weighs a certain amount so that it will only carry about 6 to 10 feet. Airborne, on the other hand, much lighter. They linger in the air longer. Now we're concerned about ventilation and filters than we are about distance as well. They retracted that, and now we're all saying, well, wait a second, you had that ready to go. Therefore, you must have some information. Is this going to come out? And at what point do we start saying, we need to start to handle things differently here in restaurants and health clubs and bars and other areas?
I didn't realize that there was a difference, and I don't see how we would behave any differently. I thought we were all wearing masks to keep the droplets away from other people and our air, and that we were keeping 6 feet of distance to sort of insulate us from other people. The previous thinking was what, Doctor? What were we being told prior to this?
Well, the previous was that it's droplets, exactly everything that you just said. Now, if they go to airborne, I'll give you the perfect example.
That makes it more contagious, it sounds like.
Correct. Influenza is droplet. If you walked into a room of people and you had influenza and they had no protection, you would spread it to a few people. If you had measles, however, and you walked into a room where measles is airborne, if you walked into that room, you would spread that to a lot of people.
Yeah.
Now, we've all thought that. As a matter of fact, the World Health Organization in July, 200 scientists said, put this out this way.
That it's both. Put out that it's both ways.
Correct.
Yeah.
That this is spreading faster than we would see with droplet.
Right.
So, you know, now the confusion of, tell us what's going on, you guys. You know the science. You've collected all the data from around the world. Please let us know so that we can educate the public.
And what is the message then? So it's both, it's droplets in air, and we should treat it like the measles, that it's airborne as well?
You know what? I think everyone's going to go that route. They said, hey, the CDC had this ready to go. Someone pushed the wrong button to push that out. They must be thinking that. So I think you're going to start to see more people be much more, have much more precautions. In the hospital, we're already doing it, right? We're wearing face shields. We're wearing goggles. We're wearing N95 masks, you know. So we are doing a lot of it already. But we're talking more about, what happens in the public? Is this going to change our views on how we're going to take care of children in schools? So it's really, we really need to know so that we can be prepared appropriately.
So the official government guidance is not that, to treat it as airborne and more contagious, even though we can tell that they do have the language behind that ready to go. Why they haven't hit send, you know, intentionally is a bit of a mystery. The other thing that you've mentioned was, okay, then what about who should get tested? Boy, that's an age-old question, going back a few months now. Catch me up on the current thinking on that, doctor, after this. Dr. Kevin Most is joining us. You know him well from Northwestern and Central DuPage Hospital. Just finish that last thought, if there's anything else you want to say before we go on to testing, doctor, that the CDC had guidance that said that COVID-19 would be more airborne, more contagious, if you will. It was accidentally sent out, but they're retracting that, saying, no, that's not the messaging we want there. Any final thoughts from you on what's happened?
No, you know, when you couple that with what we're going to talk about next, it really starts to lead us to believe that they have more concern about it being airborne. And if that's true, you know, it's not going to panic people. We know that, how this spreads. It's just going to make sure we put the right safeguards in place. So if they come out now in a week and say it's airborne, boy, they're going to have a lot of egg on their face saying, you obviously knew it 2 weeks ago. You took it, you put it out, you took it back, and now it's back out. You start to lose confidence in these people, and that's unfortunate.
Agreed. A lot of our texters are saying, well, that's just the White House. The White House put the kibosh on that memo because it won't be good for the president's reelection chances. I don't know if you have any insight on that.
When you look at his rallies, if you knew that this was an airborne and asymptomatic and pre-symptomatic people had it, then boy, that would be sending the wrong message, that's for sure.
Talk to me about testing then. So who is supposed to get tested now?
Yeah. So it's interesting, John. They were kind of silent about if you were exposed but had no symptoms. They said, you know what, if you don't have symptoms and you haven't been in close contact, you don't need a test. If you do get a test, okay, you know, kind of be careful about being around people and know that a negative test does not mean you can't get infected later. Now, they said, hey, if you've been in close contact within 6 feet of somebody with COVID, you need a test. You know, and not only is testing recommended for all close contacts, but also it's important that you isolate yourself and you self-quarantine at home, separated from household members, until you get the results of the test back. And a single negative test does not mean you will remain negative for any point. Even if you have a negative test, you should self-isolate for 14 days.
Originally, everybody wanted a test and tried to get tested. Then they said, well, maybe you don't have to get tested. Now they're saying you should get tested again.
Correct. So, you know, the goal was always to try to capture the asymptomatic people who may have been exposed. And whether we didn't have the testing material, whether we didn't want to see the numbers go up, whatever the reason behind it is unknown. But right now, they're very clear. Hey, if you've had exposure, you get a test and you self-quarantine. So this is the stand that many of us thought we should have been taking a long time ago, which would have allowed us to slow the spread from the asymptomatic and pre-symptomatic people.
You said you get a test and you self-quarantine, but if the test comes back negative, then you don't have to quarantine, right?
Well, it says, even this is the CDC, even if you have a negative test, you should still self-isolate for 14 days. In other words, you have COVID. I come over there and I see you and I'm talking to you and you find out you have COVID. Now they tell me, well, I get tested. That doesn't mean that I got tested today that I'm going to be negative tomorrow. So what they're saying is because of your exposure to John, who is positive, we know that you can test positive anywhere now from day 2, used to be day 10, so now it's 2 to day 14. So they're saying if you had a strong exposure, we want you to isolate regardless of the results. But if you test positive, now they're going to also ask you, who else were you in contact with? So we're finally getting down to what contact tracing should actually be done.
Yeah, I was going to bring that up, but it also sounds like they don't have much confidence in the tests. I mean, if either way they want you to quarantine, then what's the urgency around the test?
Yeah, the urgency around the test is to find those, obviously, those who are positive. If we really were running out of tests, we'd say, if you had an exposure, which we did way in the beginning, when, if you remember in the beginning, even at Northwestern, we could only do 100 tests a day. Now we can do 7,000. But at that time, if you were exposed to somebody, we didn't even test you because we didn't have the test, and we just put you into quarantine for 14 days. Kids coming home from school, from different countries, were quarantined without even being tested, because we didn't have the capability. Now we do have the capability, and now they're taking the stand. If you test positive, great, we're going to contact trace from you, but also we need to start to self-isolate and quarantine for 14 days to slow this as we enter into the fall in the flu season.
312-981-7200. I'll just run some calls and texts by the doctor real quick. 630 said, I'm handling my aunt's estate. I drove to Rolling Meadows to meet someone who is possibly going to handle the estate sale for the condo. The woman was not wearing a mask, and when I asked her if she could put one on, she said, no, I refuse to wear a mask. That's plain ignorance. What advice do you have for somebody when they encounter somebody like that? Should you turn on your heel and walk away or deal with them at a distance? What do you do when you bump into that person?
Yeah, someone like that, I would say, if you had the opportunity, say, well, I'm going to get someone else to handle the estate.
Yeah,
you
know, that.
But if you can't do that, then I would say, okay, I want to sit across a table from you 20 feet away. I'm going to wear a mask, and I want this whole area clean beforehand. So, I mean, if you have to be in that situation, that's one thing. But, boy, you should put as much peer pressure on that individual to say, you know what, I'm not going to deal with you then, unless I absolutely have to, unless you put a mask on. It's protecting all of us to do that, and that's just plain ignorance.
Kathleen, what was your question for the doctor?
Hello?
Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. Would you consider it safe to swim in an indoor pool at my health club? You know, I haven't been there yet. They've told me they've taken all these precautions, you know, taking temps when people enter the lobby, filling out a questionnaire.
Yeah. Let's let the doctor answer. Go ahead, Doc.
Yep. You know, I'm much more hesitant now with health clubs than I was previously. Now, swimming, they can at least control, you know, the environment and only have so many people in the pool, like if you're swimming laps. But if this is a pool where you're going to enjoy yourself in the pool and people are jumping and not social distancing, then I would say I'd stay out of the pool. You know, if it's like, hey, they only have four lanes and we only have four people in there and no one is standing around waiting, then it's probably okay because your chance of crossing somebody at that time is pretty slim. But if it's a pool for enjoyment, I would say, boy, I would not be going in there right now.
Dr. Kevin Most is the Chief Medical Officer at Northwestern Medicine Central DuPage Hospital.